Well, it's Christmas time, so we have a series of Christmas messages. We'll be taking a break from 1 Samuel, so please turn to chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Around Christmas time, you also might want to, by the way, just kind of put your finger in chapter 9 as well. So we're going to begin in Matthew 1, but we'll also read from chapter 9. Around Christmas time, I like to go find the magazine racks in, you know, CVS or something like that. They actually still exist, magazine racks, you know. I wasn't sure if they would. So I went to get something at CVS, and I went to the magazine rack. I found it. It's kind of tucked away in the back. And, of course, at Christmas time, you've always got a magazine about Jesus, you know, put out by Life or something like that. And, unfortunately, every year when I find that magazine and I open up and I begin to read the article, it's always written by someone who shouldn't be writing about Jesus. You know, in this one that I read this year, it said something like, you know, oh, Jesus, you know, he came. And some people think he came for this reason, and other people think he came for that one. And, you know, who really knows exactly why he came, but let's just think about him more. Listen, it's very clear why Jesus came, because God has been very clear about Jesus' mission. Jesus says in many, many occurrences, I came for this reason. I came for that reason. And so we're going to explore those reasons that Jesus came this Christmas. And the one we're going to look at today is that Jesus came to save sinners. Let me read for us now from the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now I'll read from Matthew 9, beginning in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When he heard it, he said, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have been so clear as to why Jesus came. we thank you that you sent your Son to save us from our sin. In his name we pray. And ask that you would help us to understand and live out this word. Amen. So, my wife and I, we used to own a townhouse down in Dumfries, Virginia. We recently sold it, actually. But, you know, we'd have various problems. We were renting out the townhouse to a tenant, and when those problems came up, of course, we want to save some money. And so at one point, the clothes washing machine broke. And so I said, I know how I can fix this. I'll watch a YouTube video. I'll buy the parts. I'll go down there, and I'll fix it. Oh, you guys know where this is going, don't you? And so I do that. I watch the YouTube video. I order the part. I go down to Dumfries. I fix it, right? It worked when I left, but, you know, half an hour later, getting a call from the tenant, what you did didn't work. So, all right, okay. Well, I guess I got to watch another YouTube video because I'm good at figuring out the problem and I'm good at solving the problem, I think. So I do it again. Get another part, another YouTube video. And, you know, half an hour later, getting another call. No, it didn't work, right? So I go down a third time, new part, new YouTube video. And at this point, I almost broke the water pipe. And I say, okay, I guess I'm pretty bad at identifying the problem, actually. And certainly I'm pretty bad at providing the solution. Called up a guy and came in. And he's able to look at it and fix it within a half an hour, you know. This guy was the right one. He knew how to identify the problem precisely, and he was able to fix the problem in no time. We tend to think we're good at identifying our problems. We tend to think as human beings, yeah, we know what our biggest problem is. And we also tend to think we can find the solution to that problem. You know, if you were to ask me, maybe I might say, my biggest problem is a struggle with insomnia. You know, I have some trouble falling asleep sometimes. That's like my biggest problem. If I could just fix that problem, everything would be better. So go find a book or go do this or that, and my biggest problem in life is solved. But guess what? That's not really my biggest problem. And the Jewish people of Jesus' day, they thought the biggest problem were the Romans. Those awful Romans who indeed were mistreating them, even through tax collectors. But guess what? The Romans weren't really their biggest problem. The big human problem, the central human problem from which all problems ultimately radiate, is sin. Human rebellion against God. This desire to live independent from God and to walk in our own ways. This is the central human problem. This disruption, this fracturing of relationship with God. The coming judgment because of our sin. Sin is the ultimate central human problem. And there's somebody that if you depend on him, you call him up, he can fix it perfectly. His name is Jesus, and he came to save sinners like you and me. The birth of Jesus Christ means king, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that's like being engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. In other words, they had not had sex, but she's got a child. I told the youth group this last night. I was talking with my children. We went over this story, my two little daughters, and I said, girls, don't worry. This is not going to happen to you, okay? This only happened to one woman and will only happen to one woman in history, namely Mary. She was found to be with child, not because she'd been with a man, but because the Holy Spirit did a supernatural, miraculous work in her womb, and God the Son took upon himself the fullness of human nature in a virgin. And this is amazing. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, A just man, justice. You know, what would justice be? We might think, well, justice would have been bringing her out and exposing her shamefully to the whole community. She must have been with another man. She's pregnant. We were engaged and she was with another man. Maybe we would have thought that was justice. But God says that Joseph was a just man. Why? Because he was unwilling to put her to shame and resolved to divorce her quietly. He loved Mary. But as he considered these things, you know, it must have been really heavy for him, right? He had a whole plan in his life, me and Mary, you know. Now he's got to divorce her quietly. But then, as he considered these things, maybe laying in bed on that pillow, falling asleep, enters into a dream. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream? How does that even work, right? Angels are beings created by God. Like you and me, right? You and I, we're all created by God. How in the world do you get in a dream? Like a dream doesn't... I guess a dream is something, right? It's also part of reality. It just bends my mind to think about how a creature like an angel can walk into a dream and then speak to Joseph. This was the deepest dream Joseph ever had, I'm sure, right? And the angel says, Joseph, son of David. Our study of 1 Samuel. Been learning about David, and there's this promise of a dynasty through David. Indeed, the king is coming through the line of David. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua. That word means Yahweh saves. Yeshua. So his name will be Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Not from the Romans. Not from their Muslim oppressors. Not from their sleep problems. Not from their financial issues. Jesus will save us from all things. All of the problems that radiate out from sin ultimately. But he has to deal with the central problem if all of those other things can be fixed. So he didn't come to save me from my insomnia first. No, he came to save me. He came to save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came to save. It's very clear. Some have talked about this salvation from sin, which is a very big topic. The salvation as a salvation from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. He saves us from the penalty of it by dying in our place and for them. God counted our sins against him. Christ bore the penalty. So we don't have to. But he also saves us from the power of sin. That power, that heart disease that keeps me doing this to God, even while God is doing this to me. And Jesus breaks the power of sin so that my hand turns out like this. But I, you know, of course, we find until Jesus returns, we kind of do this and this and this. But slowly he makes us more open and open. We're growing. Jesus delivers us from the power of sin. And ultimately, Jesus delivers us from the very presence of it. So we see in the wonderful revelation of John that in the new heavens and the new earth, there is no more sin. We talk about this as justification and sanctification and ultimate glorification. And I want us to note here as well, for you who are struggling to believe that you'll ever be able to overcome that sin, whatever it is that you struggle with. Did you hear what the angel said? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will. Not he might, he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is not a might or a maybe savior. He is a will savior. He will save God's chosen people from their sins. This is a work of God. It is not by our works. It is by the work of the triune God. And those who he has determined to save, he will save to the uttermost. Some of you feel like, I am hopeless in overcoming my problem with this. You, my friend, I speak as much to myself. We are hopeless if we are left to ourselves. But with Jesus, we are not hopeless. He is going to deliver us. He will save his people from their sins. And then in Matthew 9, let's turn there. Jesus, again, he's very clear. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And he does it in a very obvious way. So everyone can see. He goes and he chooses a tax collector. A tax collector. Someone that Jesus, who is ethnically Jewish, his ethnic people, the Jewish people, tended to despise the tax collector. Why? Because here was a fellow Jew who was siding with their enemies, the Romans, collecting taxes for them and taking money off the top. So if the Romans were taking 15%, the tax collector came to your small home and he took 20. Because he could. And if you've got a problem with that, he can break your arm. They were sinners. And here's Jesus, a rabbi, a very holy man, without sin. Could you imagine meeting somebody without sin? And he goes directly to the tax collector and he says, follow me. I mean, we need to be struck by this. Jesus went to prostitutes and said, yo, come out to dinner with me. Came to save sinners. And Jesus reclined at table in a tax collector's house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and they were reclining. They're at dinner with Jesus. This was the way in his time, and in many ways in our own time, for you to gain intimacy with another in relationship was to have a meal with them. The most intimate way of relating around a meal. And he calls tax collectors and sinners to be with him. And the Pharisees saw this and they're, why are you doing this? Why is your rabbi eating with tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't he see that they're not righteous? Doesn't he see that they don't have it all together in life? Doesn't he see that they're like D students and F students? Why is he hanging out with them? Right? But when Jesus heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Now, don't get Jesus wrong here. He's not saying the Pharisees aren't sick. This is double-edged. Just as much as he's calling tax collectors and sinners to realize that they're sinners and to come to Jesus for salvation from sin, he's calling the self-righteous, prideful Pharisee to realize they have just as big a problem. They are in the same category of people that need help from the great physician. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's telling those Pharisees, go back and read Hosea 6, because you're the ones that need just as much help. For I came, it couldn't be clearer, not to call the righteous, but sinners. But sinners. Salvation, as we see here, is not just that we get forgiven. It's not just that we become more virtuous and morally upright. But do you see that in this picture, salvation from sin is fundamentally about a return to fellowship and communion and interpersonal relationship with the living God again. In the person of Jesus, and with Jesus, with God the Father, and with God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all together as a community of sinners gathered around Him who have said, we have had enough of this sin, would you save me? And we enjoy fellowship with the living God, table fellowship with the living God. As His sons and daughters, as Jesus' brothers and sisters. And so, He gives us a meal. And I don't say this to be cute, but to help you remember, the meal that we eat with Jesus, it is a meal that heals. A meal that heals. And He continues to have table fellowship with you and I, sinners whom He is healing through this meal. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat, all of you. The same night He took the cup and He said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you.